This is Houston, over.
Roger, go ahead, Houston, final 11.
11, this is Houston, you are go for LOI, over.
Roger, go for LOI.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. All your systems are looking good going around the corner. We'll see you on the other side. Over.
Roger. Everything looks okay up here.
Roger out.
And we've had loss of signal as Apollo 11 goes behind the moon. Madrid AOS. Madrid AOS.
Reading you loud and clear, Houston, LOS.
Roger, reading you the same now. Could you repeat your burn status report? We copied the residuals and burn time, and that was about it. Send the whole thing again, please.
It was right perfect. Your delta tick 0, burn time 557. CAD values on the angle, VGX minus 0.1, VGY minus 0.1, VGZ plus 0.1, no trim, minus 6.8 on Delta PC. Fuel was 38.8, MOX 39.0, plus 50 unbalanced. We ran an increase on the PUG, now 44, showed us in a 60.9 by 169.9.
Roger, we copy your burn status report. So we're getting a beautiful picture in down here now, 11. The color is coming in quite clearly, and we can see the horizon and the relative blackness of space. And without getting into the question of grays and browns, it looks, at least on our monitor, sort of a brownish gray.
It appears to me as though it made a difference just sitting back in the tunnel and gazing at all windows. It makes a difference which one you're looking out of. For example, the camera right now is looking out the number 5 window, and it definitely gives a rosier or tanner tinge, especially when you look straight through it and not...
Not
at an angle, over.
Roger.
Yeah, the crater that's in the center of the screen now is Webb. We'd be looking straight down on it at about 6 minutes before power descent. It has a relatively flat bottom to the crater, and you can see maybe two or three craters that are in the bottom of it. On the western wall, the wall that's now nearest to the camera, or near the bottom of the screen, we can see a dimple crater just on the outside. And then coming back toward the bottom of the screen and to the left, you can see a series of depressions. It's this type of connected craters that give us most interest to discover why they're in the particular patterns that they're in. I'll zoom the camera in and try and give you a little closer look at this.
Roger, we're observing the dimple crater now. The central peak that we can see on the orbiter photos doesn't seem to stand out very well here.
Well, they're not central peaks, they're depressions in the center.
Roger.
Eagle Houston, we look good through the 210 on this mode. We're going to shift data select to an 85-foot dish to see what we got, and then we'll be back through to you on the 210. If you'll stand by a couple of minutes in this mode, we'll be back with you. Over.
Roger, Eagle, standing by.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 83 hours, 21 minutes now into the flight. Meanwhile, aboard the Eagle, apparently Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, although Buzz is doing most of the comm check at this time.
Eagle, Houston, how do you read? Over. Houston Eagle, read you loud and clear. Over.
Roger, we're reading you 5-by. We got the voice good through the 85. The telemetry is in and out through the 85. Stand by. We'll be back through you with you to the, through the 210. Over. Eagle, Houston, you can go step 5 now. We'd like low bit rate, over.
Houston Eagle, you have low bit rate.
Roger, copy, Eagle.
Yeah.
Eagle, Houston, could you give me a short count? This mode, over.
Houston, this is Eagle with a short count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Eagle, over.
Roger, Eagle, you're 5-5. This S-band voice is really beautiful, over. And Eagle, Houston, we'll be standing in this... Standing by in this mode for a minute or so. We'll be back with you if you'll just stand by. Over.
Roger.
Eagle, this is Houston coming through the 210. How do you read? Over.
Roger, you can have him.
Eagle, this is Houston. We're happy with all our data and all modes. You can power down the comm now. Over.
Roger, understand. Eagle, will power down the comm. And we're just pushing 27 volts now. It looks like we won't have to bother with the ITAP.
Right.
Powering down. Out.
Roger, copy. Out. Houston, we got a CEI 11 pad for you, and an update on the water dump, over.
Stand by when you... Are you through at the 50?
That's firm, over.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 83 hours, 27 minutes, now onto the flight Apollo 11. That last exchange between Charlie Duke, our capsule communicator, and Buzz Aldrin aboard the Eagle, identifying that we're very well satisfied with the communications check on the lunar module, and we'll proceed with powering down the spacecraft. At 83 hours, 27 minutes, we now read an altitude of 54.3 nautical miles, a velocity of 5,376 feet per second. And this is Apollo Control, Houston.
Houston, Columbia, ready to copy TEI 11, over.
Roger. Columbia, here we come with the TEI 11. SPS, GNN. 37200 minus 060 plus 047 down 33
0-9-8-0-5-2-4-2-2 plus 41-4-4-8 plus 0-3-7-1-9 minus 0-2-4-2-2 roll is NA, pitch 0-2-0, rest of the pad is NA, set stars are NA, the ullage is 2 quads, correction, 2 jets for 16 seconds, use Bravo and Delta. In a comment, the undocked present CSM, correction, this is for TI-11, is undocked present onboard weight of the CSM is 37200 pounds, about 50 alpha in your DAP, over.
All right, I read back, TEI-11, FPS GNN, 37200, minus 060, plus 047, plus 098, 052422, plus 41448, plus 03719, minus 02422, NA, 020, rest of pad NA, college 2 jet for 60 seconds, quad B and D, undocked. Present CSM weight is okay in the
dump. Roger, 11, and we'd like you to do a wastewater dump at 84 hours, down to 25%, over.
Roger, understand, wastewater dump to 25% at 84 hours.
Roger, and Mike will have LOS in about 11 minutes at 83.44. AOS is 8430, and prior to or at LOS, we would like you to go configure the S-band for high grain track to react, high gain beam to narrow. Let's try that to see if we can get an automatic react at the next AOS. Over.
All right, good idea.
That was Mike Collins aboard Columbia, taking down a maneuver pad.
Rod. Apollo 11, Houston, also that water that you got on the aft bulkhead, if it's not too much, we just recommend sopping it up and then throwing the sponges away in the waste storage area. If it's too much, then recommend using the procedure in the checklist on page F10-14. Over.
All right, thank you.
This is Apollo Control Houston, 83 hours, 34 minutes now into the flight, Apollo 11. The lunar module communications has been deactivated. We currently show a velocity of 5,377 feet per second. Our orbital parameters now read 65.1 nautical miles apolune, 54.2 nautical miles perilune. At 84 hours, 35 minutes, continuing to follow. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Apollo 11, Houston, would you have Buzz make sure he gives us the ops pressure readings before you close up? Over.
Well, yeah. Houston 11, the OPS has read 5750, both bottles.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control Houston, 83 hours, 38 minutes. Apollo 11 now on CSM power. This is Apollo Control Houston, 83 hours, 40 minutes. Now into the flight Apollo 11. We're less than 4 minutes away now from time of loss of signal with the Apollo 11 spacecraft. Present time, our velocity reading 5,375 feet per second. Our total weight in orbit at this time reading 70,502 pounds. Our orbital parameters, Apolloon 65.1 nautical miles, Perilloon 54.2 nautical miles. This is Apollo Control Houston. This is Apollo Control Houston at 83 hours, 43 minutes now into the flight Apollo 11, less than a minute away from predicted time of loss of signal with the Apollo 11 spacecraft. We expect the next time we acquire Apollo 11, its crew, Neil Armstrong, Mike Collins, Buzz Aldrin, will have begun their rest period. And at 83 hours, 43 minutes, this is Apollo Control Houston. Seven has passed out of range with the ground, traversing now over the far side of the moon. During this pass, we had an extremely successful communications checkout with the lunar module, using its code name for the first time, its code name, the Eagle. Buzz Aldrin performed the counting tasks in concert with Charlie Duke, the capsule communicator here on the ground. And at times, Buzz's voice, we noted considerable enthusiasm for the way things are going. And at times, Charlie Duke shared that enthusiasm. And it's maiden checkout in communications. The Lunar Module Eagle looked good. At 83 hours, 45 minutes, this is Apollo Control Houston. This is Apollo Control Houston at 84 hours and 28 minutes. Now into the flight Apollo 11. We're less than 2 minutes away now from our scheduled time of acquisition with Apollo 11. Meanwhile, in Mission Control Center, astronaut Owen Garriott has now replaced Charlie Duke as our capsule communicator. We expect that some final advisories will be passed to the Apollo 11 crew, and final reports such as crew status will be received from Neil Armstrong, Mike Collins, and Buzz Aldrin prior to the start of their sleep period. We're a little over a minute away now from scheduled time of acquisition. We'll continue to keep the line up and continue to monitor. This is Apollo Control Houston. Mark, 30 seconds now from time of scheduled acquisition. Mark, 20 seconds. 10 seconds. We should be acquiring shortly, and we're standing by. We have data. We've acquired data on Apollo 11. This is Apollo Control Houston, Owen Garriott, getting ready to place a call.
Over.
Houston, Apollo 11.
11 Houston, roger, reading you fine, and it looks like the automatic react went very well just as soon as you came around the limb. We have several small items to discuss with you here just before you go to sleep. Over.
Go ahead, Owen.
Okay, 11. First of all, on our LEM systems checks, everything went fine. I would like to remind you, though, tomorrow you may see an ascent pressure light when you activate the MCNW. There should be no problem there, however. You did note that the app's aux tank pressure was only reading 111 PSI, which is normal at this point. But below the level which will trigger your light due to the helium which has been dissolved into the propellant. Over.
Roger, I understand that. Thank you.
Roger, and next item, the supercritical helium rise rate is nominal. And you also had questions for us about your thruster activity during the P-22 on the last rev. I believe we understand that now. As you reported, your pitch was in Excel command and your yaw and roll were in rate command. As you were firing your pitch thrusters, this wheel couple rates into your yaw and roll axes, and you were at that time holding only half a degree dead band, and coupling rates into yaw and roll produced the extra firings about the yaw and roll axes. Over.
Yeah, that may be true. It's very peculiar coupling in that it waits longer than you would think, and its reaction is greater than you would think. We were getting yaw rates of around 0.4 of a degree per second, for example.
Roger, Mike. We did play the data back, and that's the way it looked upon analysis of the chart recordings back here. Over.
Okay, fine.
They've also looked at the results of your landmark tracking. The marks all apparently were very good, and we've got a full page of data here relative to the altitudes of the various site locations, which I won't read up to you, but I did want to let you know that the marks apparently went very well. I also have your consumable budgets, particularly your RCS propellant quantities. They're deltas from nominal if you should want them. Your worst quad is quad Charlie, which is 9% low. I'll not read up the others unless you want them. Over.
Okay, how about the O2 fuel cell purge? You want that now?
I'll have to stand by just a moment.
Okay, and then the other one is we're still charging battery A.
11, Houston. We would like to delay the fuel cell purge until the backside of the moon, and you go ahead and should terminate your battery charge at this time. Over.
Okay, I understand. I knew we had another O2 and H2 purge coming up in the morning. I wasn't sure whether you wanted to go through with this one or not. I'll wait until the backside and then do it.
That's fine, Buzz.
Terminate battery charging now.
That's right, and one other systems item here. In order to balance your cryo tanks, would you get your O2 tank 1 and your H2 tank 2 heaters off? Over.
Okay, I have O2 tank heater 1 off and H2 tank heater 2 off.
That's right, Mike, and we believe you have your quad Bravo and quad Charlie turned off in your DAP at this time in a 5-degree dead band. We'd prefer a 10-degree dead band for your sleep period overnight here. Over.
Okay.
One other item relative to a malfunction procedure. It's unlikely that you'll have to worry about this tomorrow, but in your malfunction list under docking on page F11-9, there is a malfunction procedure for a high O2 flow rate at the top of, under tunnel, at the top of page 11-9. We would like to have you not use that malfunction procedure should you encounter the high O2 flow rate, and instead check back with Houston for a revised procedure should you find that situation. Over.
Understand, and a note has been made in my checklist.
Eleven Houston, Roger. That just about takes care of all the items we have here on the ground before time to hit the FEC. And I guess you will have a pre-sleep check for us before you go to bed.
Roger, we're in the midst of cycling the O2 and H2 fans now.
Roger.
And the radiation is as follows, CDR 11012, CMP 10013, LMP 09015. Negative medication, over.
Roger, copy, 11.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 84 hours, 39 minutes now into the flight. That conversational exchange with Owen Garriott here in Mission Control Center, and principally Buzz Aldrin. However, Mike Collins did talk briefly about Program 22, the landmark tracking activity in which he performed. At 84 hours, 40 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston.
Houston, Apollo 11.
11, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, we're thinking about taking the monocular with us on into the LEM. We think it might prove to be of some use, over.
Roger, Buzz, it sounds like a good idea for some of your surveying work there inside the cockpit, over.
Okay, you want to run that by whoever might be concerned?
I sure will.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 84 hours, 44 minutes, and now into the flight Apollo 11. Our current spacecraft altitude, now 64.3 nautical miles, with an apaloon of 65.2 nautical miles, perilune 54.4 nautical miles. We show an orbital period of 1 hour, 58 minutes, 40 seconds on our displays. Current weight of the spacecraft in orbit, 70,502 pounds. At 84 hours, 44 minutes, continuing to monitor, this is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control, Houston, 84 hours, 48 minutes, now into the flight. We're receiving noisy data at this time. We have requested Apollo 11 to give us a manual relock. Standing by at 84 hours, 49 minutes. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Houston, Apollo 11, how do you hear it now?
11, Houston, loud and clear this time. How may?
Loud and clear. You faded out on your last transmission, over.
Roger, are you in wide beam now?
Negative, I got you locked back on again, reacting now.
Roger, that's what we want. We want to stay in narrow, and we're a little puzzled about why we lost you here a few minutes ago. Do you have any ideas?
Sure, we're showing about 15 degrees plus pitch and about 270. That ought to be good and clear.
We concur there. We still don't have any good ideas on why we were lost. Houston, would you confirm that we did acquire automatically when you came around the limb for this passage? Over.
That's confirmed.
Thank you.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 84 hours, 56 minutes now into the flight, Apollo 11. Our current apolloon, 65.1 nautical miles, current perilloon, 54.3 nautical miles. After receiving some noisy signal, Apollo 11 has locked back on in fine form. That was Buzz Aldrin speaking with Owen Garriott here in the Mission Control Center. I expect we will take a second look at why we had to lock on manually. As we receive any updates on this, we'll pass them along. We now read 84 hours, 57 minutes. And this is Apollo Control, Houston.
Apollo 11, Houston, over.
Houston, Apollo 11.
11 Houston, on your auto RTS select switches, we show Quad Bravo disabled, but Quad Charlie only partially disabled. Charlie 3, I believe, is the only one you have selected off. Is that correct?
No, Roger, that's correct.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 85 hours, 5 minutes, now onto the flight Apollo 11. We confirm from the ground following that conversational exchange. As was pointed out...
We see them all disabled at this time. Thank you.
As was pointed out... RCS Quad Charlie is now disabled following that conversational exchange between Owen Garriott and Buzz Aldrin. Buzz, the lunar module pilot, apparently quite obviously still awake. 85 hours, 7 minutes now to the flight Apollo 11. Continuing to monitor, this is Apollo Control, Houston.
Apollo 11, Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
11, Houston, we're going to try to check out this ability to automatically reacquire on the S-band, and what we want to do is to secure our uplink carrier for about 30 seconds, then we will turn it back on and see if the spacecraft equipment will automatically reacquire. So if you do not get a call from us within about 3 minutes, that means we have not been able to reacquire, and request your assistance on a manual acquisition. Over.
Okay, we understand.
Levin Houston, we also appreciate if you will note the angles that the antenna tracks through in its attempt to reacquire. Over.
Roger, we'll do that.
11 Houston, it looks like we're locked back up again with no delay. How does it look on board? Over.
Roger. The signal strength dropped very rapidly to zero, and the pitch and yaw in about 3 seconds moved toward 40 degrees pitch and 240 degrees yaw. Right now, they're setting on about 15 degrees pitch and about 265 degrees yaw. So they didn't move very far, about 30 degrees apiece. And then they picked right back on up again, over.
Roger, some of the luckiest people in the background there. We copied your pitch and yaw angles. Houston, could you give us the location of your pitch and yaw location of your position indicators? Over.
Roger, they're the same position as the antenna right now, plus 15 degrees pitch and well, now wait a minute, I got them, got it at about 275 instead of 265.
Okay, thank you. Houston, we'd like to try the same procedure once more. We'll leave the carrier off a little longer and be back up for a call within 4 minutes. Over.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, 85 hours, 17 minutes now into the flight Apollo 11. What you heard in the conversation between Owen Garrett and Buzz Aldrin was following a communications check in which we secured the uplink carrier for some 30 seconds and waited a given period of time, approximately 3 minutes, to see if the spacecraft would reacquire. We appeared to reacquire in fine form on this first test. We will repeat it, this test a second time, delaying approximately 4 minutes before we place a call to Apollo 11. At 85 hours, 17 minutes, we currently read an altitude, spacecraft altitude of 56.1 nautical miles. Present velocity shows 5,367 feet per second. An apolune, 65 nautical miles. Paraloon, 54.4 nautical miles. Present weight in orbit remains a static 70,502 pounds. Present time in orbit, as shown on our displays, 1 hour, 58 minutes, 40 seconds. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
11 Houston, we're locked back up again. Can you give us a report on how the antenna behaved?
Roger, it was essentially identical with before. The pitch went to 40 to 45, and the yaw went to about 245 to 255, and then it rather quickly locked up that 15 degrees pitch and 270 yaw.
11 Houston, roger your angles, 45 and 255. Do I understand that as soon as the carrier dropped, it went to these angles, or did it only go to these angles after the uplink carrier was re-enabled and the antenna began to hunt to reacquire? Over.
Now, as soon as the carrier dropped off, well, it drifted over to those angles and stayed there. Then when it came back up again, it hunted around for a while, but didn't get any further off. Gradually brought it on into the angles where it is right now, and then the signal strength would take several jumps as evidently it goes from wide to medium to narrow. Over.
11 Houston, understand. And on another subject, request you zero your optics for the night. Over.
Apollo 11 Houston, over.
Houston, Apollo 11, go ahead.
Roger, the Black Bugle just arrived with some morning news briefs, if you're ready.
Go ahead.
Roger. Okay. Church services around the world today are mentioning Apollo 11 in their prayers. President Nixon's worship service at the White House is also dedicated to the mission. And our fellow astronaut, Frank Borman, is still in there pitching and will read the passage from Genesis, which was read on Apollo 8 last Christmas. The Cabinet and members of Congress, with emphasis on the Senate and House Space Committees, have been invited along with a number of other guests. Buzz, your son Andy got a tour of MSC yesterday. Your Uncle Bob Moon accompanied him on the visit, which included the LRL. Among the...
Thank you.
Roger. Among the large headlines concerning Apollo this morning is one asking that you watch for a lovely girl with a big rabbit. An ancient legend says a beautiful Chinese girl called Chang'o has been living there for 4,000 years. It seems she was banished to the moon because she stole the pill of immortality from her husband. You might also look for her companion, a large Chinese rabbit, who is easy to spot since he is always standing on his hind feet in the shade of a cinnamon tree. The name of the rabbit is not reported.
Okay, we'll keep a close eye for the bunny girl.
Roger. You residents of the spacecraft Columbia may be interested in knowing that today is Independence Day in the country of Columbia. Gloria Diaz of the Philippines was crowned Miss Universe last night. She defeated 60 other girls for the global beauty title. Miss Diaz is 18 with black hair and eyes and measures 34 and one half, 23, 34 and one half. First runner-up was Miss Australia, followed by Miss Israel and Miss Japan. While you're on your way back Tuesday night, the American and National League All-Stars will be playing ball in Washington. Mel Stottlemyre of the Yankees is expected to be the American League's first pitcher. No one is predicting who will be first pitcher for the National League yet. They have 9 on the roster. Even though research has certainly paid off in the space program, research doesn't always pay off, it seems. The Woodstream Corporation, parent company of the Animal Trap Company of America, which has made more than 1 billion wooden spring mouse traps, reports that it built a better mouse trap, but the world didn't beat a door to its path. Didn't beat a path to its door. As a matter of fact, the company had to go back to the old-fashioned kind. They said, we should have spent more time researching housewives and less time researching mice. And the Black Bugle is all completed for the morning.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the news. Black Team will be looking for an interesting day with you all tomorrow.
Roger, we'll be going off here shortly, and we'll pick you up in the morning for sure.